It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to the table. We're now into our Bible study phase and very excited because today is day 5 and Beth is back with us and she's got her lesson titled A Man of Character. So we're going to be introduced to Boaz today. Beth, thank you so much for joining us, you know, once again, and I'm really excited for this lesson. What do we have today?
Well, thank you so much, Amy, for having me. And today we get to meet Boaz. So for anyone who's, you know, of a romantic nature out there, this is the love interest. So we can say hello to him today. The love stories in the Bible don't go quite the same way that we, you know, typically tend to think of them. So, and again, keep in mind that there's going to be things in this that are a little different than what we would expect. Just like marrying your brother, your husband's brother, you know, we don't do that anymore. Yeah, this is a little different too. So we're going to start in Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his young man, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? And the servant, who was in charge of the reapers, answered, she's the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. So she came, and she's continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. Then Boaz said to Ruth, now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in any other field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? But Boaz answered her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. So we see that Ruth and Naomi have left Moab. They're back in Bethlehem. They have a place to sleep, but they still have more needs than that. Ruth takes the initiative, and she goes out to find food for the two of them. She is seeking to do good. She's not just staying and hoping someone will take pity on them. Ruth is caring for Naomi's physical needs. She, who is despised and has no blood tie to this widow, is yet the one who cares for her, not because she has to, but because she wants to. Remember, she could have chosen to stay with her family in Moab. She was given the opportunity to stay behind, but she chose to go along. Now, just a reminder, gleaning is a requirement of the people. It was expected that if you had a field, that when you went through and bound up your sheaves, stuff would fall on the ground, and there were prohibitions against gathering all that up for yourself. Again, Leviticus 23:22, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God. So you were supposed to make that food available for the poor, the widows, those who didn't have enough to eat. The poor, though, they had a job in that. They were required to come and glean the leftover crops for themselves. The owner of the field wasn't supposed to gather up the leftovers and deliver it to the poor. The poor were required to still work for their food. Now, that's not the only way that the poor could find help, but since that's relevant to our discussion here and it's described here, that's what we're going to talk about here. So that is the system that was set up so that everyone worked, and yet everyone had the ability to survive. Now we meet Boaz, and he's a wealthy man, but it's not like he owned the entire city of Bethlehem, but he had fields, and he had prosperous fields. But again, coincidence doesn't exist, so it's not a coincidence that Ruth should find herself in Boaz's field to glean. Ruth begins to work to gather the leftovers for herself and Naomi, and as she does, Boaz comes to check on the work in the field. Now, it says above that Boaz was a worthy man, or in other translations it says that he was a man of character. And we are going to see examples of how that looks. As he arrives, he immediately notices Ruth. Now, he noticed her mostly because she was a foreigner. She's not one of the people he's familiar with who would normally glean in his field. Boaz first greets his workers. He also greets his overseer. And in this greeting, we kind of get an insight into Boaz's character. We see that he's considerate, that he's a godly man in his greetings to his people, and we see his kindness. He's also a good steward of what he has. He has appointed worthy men to oversee his field, but he still comes to check on what's going on. He comes to the overseer, to the field, to see that everything's going well, and to deal with any problems that may have arisen. Ruth has drawn the attention of the overseer, just as Boaz has noticed her. Now, of course, the first thing that the overseer mentions is she's from Moab. But then he goes on. He's watched her work. She respectfully requested that she be allowed to glean in the field. And whatever his reservations, the overseer granted permission, but he kept an eye on her. Remember, again, to him, she is still first a Moabite. So what has this overseer seen that he can report to Boaz? He's noticed that she's worked hard. She's only taken one short rest. Otherwise, she's been intent on her labor. She's not lazy. She is there for a purpose, and she's going to accomplish her purpose. Now, Boaz is impressed with this report of her. Again, we get another glimpse into Boaz's character. He's impressed, and he acts on that. He wants to show that she has earned his favor, and he does so by providing a safe and secure place for her to gather food for herself and Naomi. Now, notice he doesn't say, here, sit down, I'll have someone else lean for you. We'll just bring it right on over. You're cute. Go ahead and have a seat. No, she still had to work for what she received. However, he lets her know that his field is a safe place to glean. And he is also concerned for her need for water, and he provides that for her so she doesn't have to draw it herself. Now, that was unusual. We don't really grasp why that was unusual, but water wasn't like turn on the tap. It was go to the well, dump the bucket in, pull it all the way back up. The bucket's heavy. Now you can take a drink of not usually the most fabulous water, but he has made provision and said, you can go over there to the water that the men have drawn up, and you can drink from that. In doing all of these things, he's also sending a message to the other widows and to the poor who are gleaning. This woman is under my protection. There will be no unkindness shown to her here. I don't care where she's from. Her actions show her love for God and for Naomi, and you will treat her with respect in my field. Now, Ruth recognizes that this is a special favor, and she has no idea why she's receiving it. I love Boaz's response. He's heard about Ruth from others in town. Now, come on, I'm sure the gossip was going crazy. And he's heard of her selflessness in leaving her own family to return to a foreign land with Naomi so that she can care for Naomi. He's heard the stories. Now he has the opportunity to see her diligence firsthand. And he's taking the opportunity to bless her with what he has. He also applauds her choice to come to the people of the one true God. And he encourages her to continue as she has been doing, to find rest in God's wings. And Ruth is appreciative of his praise. Now, something that really struck me here, in caring for Naomi, Ruth has absolutely no hope of repayment for her loyalty. She isn't doing this for what she can get out of it. She isn't doing this for a pat on the back from the townsfolk. The mere fact that the first descriptor of her continues to be Moabite tells us that she's not likely to get a pat on the back anyway. She's not doing this for the applause of men or for a reward of any kind. She's doing this because her heart wants to do it. And that shows how much God is already at work in Ruth's heart, because that's not a normal human response. Ruth also took risks to care for Naomi. When Boaz assures her she's going to be safe from the men in his field, we realize that Ruth was really in a potentially dangerous situation alone in the field. Ruth is, as a friend of mine says, being Jesus's skin to Naomi here. Just as we couldn't possibly earn or deserve what Jesus did for us, Naomi couldn't earn what Ruth was doing for her. Ruth is showing true love to Naomi in doing this without any strings attached. When we act as Jesus' skin to someone else in the world, they're going to notice. Some will notice, and they're going to think you're nuts. They're going to think you're a doormat or that you're naive. some will notice, and they're going to be resentful that they were not the recipient of whatever blessing was given. Others will notice, and they'll be curious about your motivation. Still, others will notice and want to know more. But what we have to remember is that what we do is not dependent on the recipient. Now, that's a hard one for me because I admit that I get resentful when I do something for someone else that isn't appreciated the way that I think it should be appreciated. And Jesus warns us against this attitude in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. He says, "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full." In Matthew 6, 5, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full." And in Matthew 6:16, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they received their reward in full." A lot of time, it's my own pride getting in the way. I want the accolades. I want to be praised. I want the glory. And I forget who the focus is supposed to be on. It's supposed to be on Jesus. In Colossians 3:23, it tells us, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." We need to remember who we're serving and forget about receiving praise from others, and let Him work in our hearts so that one day we will hear the only praise we should be striving for. From Matthew 25:23, and His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come, share your master's happiness." Now, Ruth has already done a job well done. There's so much we can learn from this faithful servant. Her words and her actions are already being talked about around town, and her actions matched her words. But people couldn't reconcile that. They couldn't understand what was in it for Ruth. But Ruth had promised to stay with Naomi, and through the grace of God, she is keeping that promise with a beautiful, humble heart.
Oh, Beth, what a beautiful example for all of us ladies as we try to have that beautiful, humble heart in this day and age. Ruth is that incredible example, a Moabitess, and we can learn so much from her, can't we?
Amen.
Thanks for being at the table again, Beth. And Beth's going to be back with us tomorrow, so I hope you're keeping up with these studies. Everything that you need to catch up or to take them at your own pace is right at our Bible Studies tab at naomistable.com. Thanks again, Beth. We will be right back.